Today is the 24th and last Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brethren, we cease not to pray for you and to beg that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we may walk worthy of God in all things pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the power of his glory, in all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. The Gospel for the Mass today is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 24. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When you shall see the abomination of desolation which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, he that readeth, let him understand. Then they that are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains. And he that is on the housetop, let him not come down to take anything out of his house. And he that is in the field, let him not go back to take his coat. And woe to them that are with child and that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath. For there shall be then great tribulation, such hath not been from the beginning of the world until now, neither shall be. And unless those days had been shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' do not believe him. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If therefore they shall say to you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go ye not out. Behold, he is in the closets, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and appeareth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the body shall be, there shall the eagles also be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be moved. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty. And he shall send his angels with a trumpet and a great voice, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of the heavens to the utmost bounds of them. And from the fig tree learn a parable. When the branch thereof is now tender and the leaves come forth, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see all these things, know ye that it is nigh, even at the doors. Amen, I say to you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass." Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Today we see in the Gospel, being the last Sunday of the liturgical year, the coming of Christ, the end of the world. And Holy Mother Church wants to put that before our eyes so that we think about this, we think about the end of time, we think about our eternity. You know, for many of us, the end of our time here on earth will be the moment that we die. But of course, at one point in time, there will come an end to the world as well. Why is this important that we be reminded of this? Seems rather morbid, seems rather sad indeed. There are important reasons why we are considering these things, why Holy Mother Church puts these for us to consider, to think about. we're trying, is meant in order for us so that we live this life here below in the way in which God has intended. And it's also important for us to understand, too, that there will be a certain understanding at this point in time that we don't have today. Let's think about what, at the end of time, when the general judgment is. We know that at the end of our lives, there will be a particular judgment, and at the end of time, there will be a general judgment. There might be the objection that runs something like, why do we have to have two of these judgments if we are judged immediately at the end of our lives? Seems rather redundant. However, the time that we have where the general judgment will occur, we will see a number of things that we did not see in our own particular judgment, our own personal judgment. The most obvious is that we will see how everyone is judged. How everyone is judged, what good they did, what evil they committed, what penance they did in this life. And we will see and understand that God is just. God renders a just judgment. We will see all of the offers that God has made, the times when he came and tried to help us, who tried to give us multiple chances in order to, for us to amend our ways. And we will see how we responded. We will see that God was more than generous with us for the good that he provided for us, for all of the things he provided for us, and we will see, did we correspond? And so we will know the story of every soul. Every soul that was ever created by God will be shown to us, and we will know. We might think that that's a little bit embarrassing. It will only be embarrassing for those who lost their souls, because they will know that God gave them all these chances. For those who maybe made mistakes in this life, who had their difficulties and fell from time to time, but who overcame those difficulties, who, with the help of God's grace, was able to conquer their weaknesses, to use the grace of God efficaciously in order for their soul be sanctified. What their failings will appear as is they will appear as battle wounds. We are in the church militant, and we suffer certain battle wounds when in this life here below. And if we are able to overcome them with the help of God's grace, they become like purple hearts. Where we have overcome the weaknesses we have, we've cooperated with God's grace in order to be successful in God's army, in his militia. And so it won't be to their shame, it will actually be to their glory, because the man converted. There's also another reason why there is a general judgment at the end of time. It is in order to see what the consequences of our actions are. When we die, we know what consequences our actions have had in our lifetime. But we do not know what the consequences are for generations to come after we leave and exit this life. At the general judgment, we will see. We will see how everything we did or the things that we didn't do, how they affected not only people who we came in direct contact with, but all succeeding generations who came following us. So, like, for instance, on the positive note, you think of somebody like St. Ignatius of Loyola, who founded the Jesuit order, who did magnificent work in the Counter-Reformation, who countless souls depended upon and were sanctified because of the missionary work of the Jesuits through its many centuries, through its heyday. On the other side of the coin, another person who lived near the time of St. Ignatius of Loyola, slightly before, you have somebody like a Martin Luther. And you see the destruction, the corruption, the devastation that was caused by the fact that he defected and he left and he drew many souls with him, not only in his life, but for succeeding generations. And we'll see all of the effect of what he did throughout time. These are rather sombering ideas of the fact that we have a tremendous effect on souls that we may not even know. And we will see that at the general judgment. And it's not just for people like Martin Luther or for St. Ignatius of Loyola. It's for us, too. Because, of course, many of you have families. You have children. And your children will have children of their own. And the things that you did in your life to raise the children properly, to bring them up and to help them with regard to their supernatural end, will be such that it will have an effect not only on them, but on their children and on their grandchildren and on your great-grandchildren and so on. Also, the negligences that were involved, perhaps when you didn't teach them properly, didn't give them a good example, you compromised in the faith, that also will be known not only for your children, but also for your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. We touch many lives even though we don't know it. We have influence on others that we do not really acknowledge or understand. But we are responsible for that. We are responsible for that, and we will have to answer for that. And so that's very serious things that we have to think about. It's very serious things that we have to render account for. And so Holy Mother Church wants us to understand that these things we have to render account for, and we are responsible for these things. It's important for us, and it's also important for us, too, to know this so that we reform our lives now. Now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year. Not with the mentality of a mañana, but now. Now. Because we have to live each day the way God wants us to live it. We must live according to God's laws every day. We must live according to the grace of God every day. God gives us His grace and His helps every day. Many, many graces. Graces that are not owed to us. We are meant to use those graces. We can't put it off. We can't make compromises. We can't try to go the easy way to please God and man at the same time. We please God. We don't get caught up in the things that are here for the present moment that are for our pleasure. We think ahead. We think towards our goal. We think towards our end. That's why every morning you start out the morning with a morning offering. And you offer up what you do. You offer up your prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day to Almighty God. And, of course, offering them to God, you offer your very best. You don't just say, well, that'll do. That will suffice. It's good enough. You do your best. You do your very best in all that you do. Even though you may grow tired, you do your very best. You don't make compromises. One of the ways in which St. Ignatius talks about making a good decision is to make a decision so that when judgment day comes, you won't be embarrassed or feel bad about the decision you made or what you did because you took the easy way out. You didn't do the right thing when you're supposed to. And then, of course, then you have to render account for it. So as I say, that's why we think about this. Holy Mother Church puts this before our eyes so that we reform our lives, so we live according to our lives. We live according to our lives the way we are meant to live them, here and now, here and now. That is why you saw in October, you know, we see Christ coming the last Sunday after Pentecost as to judge, as king. We saw in last Sunday of October, Christ comes to reign at the Feast of Christ the King. He's meant to reign in our social lives today. Today. He's meant to govern us today in what we are supposed to be doing. And so the essence is of the moment. We need to reform our lives. We need to do it now. We need to live the lives that God wants us to live, and to realize the tremendous influence we have on the future by living our lives as we should. And so let us take to heart this reality, this event that will come, so that we can use it, the time that we have that God has given to us, whether long or short, for the purposes that he wants us to use them for, to understand what we are meant to do, to carry it out, to do it with a generous heart, to do it in order to please him, in order to be such that we are faithful servants in this, and faithful members of this militia that he has in this church militant, so that we fight for him, that we fight for his rights, that we do so tirelessly without giving up or without compromising, so that when we are called in judgment, that God does ask us to render an account for what we've done, we can, of course, be such that we are satisfied that we, although maybe we didn't do everything perfectly, we did things at the best of our ability, and that we don't have to be ashamed when that day comes, when we have to render account for what we have done during this life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.